What a beautiful day for a summer BBQ.
That's right. Feeling good, feeling relaxed, feeling comfortable.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brad, I don't mean to be checking out your ass in broad daylight, but you're looking mighty comfy. Is that new underwear?
I mean, normally that would be pretty creepy to say to a man, but under these circumstances, it's not, because I'm wearing Mack Weldon underwear.
Mack Weldon? Wait a second. Isn't that the premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics?
Darn right. Smart design, premium fabrics, and the best part, simple shopping. You know how I hate to shop.
Dude, I hate to shop. Every time you get on the website, there's not enough pictures, there's not enough sizes, not enough angles. It's bullshit.
Well, all you gotta do is go to MackWeldon.com. Easy to navigate, simple categories. Oh my God, they got underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, sweatpants, anything you'll ever need, all the colors, all the sizes. You can't mess this up.
It'll be more comfortable than the cotton box that I'm wearing right now with the dick hole cut out.
Oh my God, you're still wearing that stuff? Go to MackWeldon.com. It's way more comfortable. Mack Weldon uses Pima cotton. Pima cotton is the softest cotton in the world.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's like comes from aliens or something. It's
wow.
Amazing. And
but it's comfy.
Oh, very comfy.
And when do you wear it?
You can wear it anytime. You can go to work, go out on dates, you can go shopping, wherever you're going. That's when you're wearing your Mack Weldon. You look good, you feel good, and you smell good, too.
Now, what if I'm trying to go to the 24-hour fitness and playing a pickup basketball game, and I'm having a game of games where it's like, if there were scouts here, I'd probably go pro. And then I'm going straight from there to a date. And I don't want to smell like shit and sweat and pubes.
Well, then just get their silver brand.
What's that?
Mack Weldon Silver are naturally antimicrobial. That means it naturally stops you from smelling.
Wow, that's fucking really glad I ran into you at this barbecue. Hey, I don't want to, you know, be presumptuous here, but mm-hmm. There's a big bowl of new baked beans coming out.
Ooh.
And I know how you love your baked beans. Look
that's
at that.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Look over there.
Give me those.
What are you doing?
Put on your pants. Give me your underwear.
You're trying to take my underwear.
I want your underwear.
I need an adult.
Give me underwear. No, give me your underwear.
Get your own Mack Weldon. Just go to the website, MackWeldon.com.
Give me your goddamn underwear.
That, I will fight you.
Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code ALN. That's right. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code ALN. Start shopping, looking, and feeling better with Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, shirts, hoodies, you name it. They got it. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code ALN. Can I say it again? Yeah. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using promo code ALN right now. And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you had a great weekend. Thank you to everyone who came out to the Parlor Live in Seattle to see me do a bunch of shows in my hometown, man. Josh Adam Myers was up there. Avery Pearson was a lot of fun. Going to be posting some clips from those shows soon. So many tour dates also added. August, I'm coming to Chicago, Denver, Austin, then Tahoe, Vegas. I got a bunch of great tour dates coming up, so check AdamRayTV.com for all of those tour dates. Brad Williams this week is in Cincinnati at the Funny Bone in Liberty Township, Ohio, July 6th through July 9th. So go see Brad in Cincinnati at the Funny Bone, July 6th through the 9th. Tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com and all my tour dates and info at AdamRayTV.com. I will be doing the goddamn Comedy Jam July 11th next week. Me, Nick Swartz, and Dane Cook, Bill Burr. It's going to be unbelievable. It's the 3-year anniversary of the goddamn Comedy Jam. So get your tickets. It's going to be at the Roxy in Los Angeles, 9 o'clock, July 11th. It's going to be a blast. Today's episode, holy shit, talk about a fun get and somebody that everybody knows because it's like the most popular show on the planet. We got Nick Vial. Shit. I think it's Vial. Nick Vial. No, it's Vial. You know what? Fuck. Nick, the Bachelor. And Nick was kind enough to make some time. I met him when we did a segment for Extra. Me, him, Jason Derulo. If you remember that clip, it was a lot of fun. We basically did some questions and answers about women. It was like, What Women Want was the name of the segment. And Nick and Derulo and I all tried to chime in with as much info and expertise about women as we could. It was pretty fun. So he was cool as shit and ran to him at the MTV Movie Awards and said, hey, let's kick it. Come to a show, come do the podcast. And he's very particular about that, but he was kind enough to come hang out and was cool as shit. Such a fun episode, man. talked obviously a lot of Bachelor stuff. If you are a fan of the show or curious of the inner workings, he was very candid with a lot of info and hilarious and just a good hang, you know, a good dude. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. If you're a fan of The Bachelor, I'm sure you're going to really enjoy it. Follow Nick on Twitter. He's on Twitter. What is his Twitter handle? Nick's Twitter handle is @Vial Nicholas 28. So follow him, hit him up, tell him how much you love the episode. Follow me on Twitter @AdamRayComedy, @FunnyBrad, @ALNPodcast, @ALNPodcast on Instagram, AdamRayComedy on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Like I said, Brad is in Cincinnati this week. I'm in LA doing shows next week. I'm still in Seattle right now, taking it easy. This Friday, we'll, though, be at the Neptune with Ron Funches. So come out to the Neptune if you're in Seattle on Friday. And then again, all my tour dates, AdamRayTV.com. New merch store is coming, so be on the lookout for that. A new About Last Night podcast.com with all new merch and information and goodies. But in the meantime, go to AboutLastNightPodcast.com for all past episodes and your shirts and your hats. Bring them to the shows. We'll sign them, take pictures with you, and make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and comment on the iTunes page. Going to read some more of those comments on Thursday's episode and have some more ALN fans getting some free merch for your feedback. We appreciate it. We love it. You guys are the best. Now that we got the tour dates out of the way, the Twitter handles, the merch info, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with The Bachelor himself, Nick Vial.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's About Last Night.
I'm going to get a whiskey for Nick. Brad, do you want anything?
I mean,
I think you should.
I can't have two guys drinking and then me not. Yeah. So.
Well, you can, but that's a weird move.
Yeah, that's a weird move. So.
Dude, that still works, by the way. Before I get you a drink, I want to comment on that. Like, I don't know what the equivalent is for gals, but like the don't be a pussy. First of all, peer pressure in general ain't going anywhere. I talk about this in my act. It's like literally everyone has a person that's good at tugging at the right heartstring, or just that you have enough backstory with where they can be like, you know, like one of my best friends, like he'll even pull up like deep cuts where he's like, really, man, you're not going to take a 15 shot of Patron? Do you remember when I remembered your glove and T-ball? And I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, that's a fucking...
Yeah, dude, you just got to find their insecurity.
And for Adam, it's T-ball.
That's a lot. What is there an equivalent for girls?
I don't know.
Michelle, can you comment on this?
Don't be a diva.
I don't know.
All right. And that was Michelle with her hot take.
No, I mean, you can probably comment on it from just being around so many gals. Like, you, I mean, talk about witnessing girl on girl just, you know, domination at its highest.
You don't get to see a lot of that at The Bachelor.
Really? All right, Michelle, you had your chance.
She said
you're a bit hidden a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
When the women are around you, they're on their best behavior. Well, kind of.
Yeah.
Well,
but they tone down the cattiness.
Yeah, but yeah. Then you've seen both sides. You've seen it when you were the Bachelor, and then you've seen it when it's when you were a contestant.
The men are really catty.
Yeah, like that. That's what. Now, The Bachelor is one of those shows where
are we recording or?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. So the. Bachelor's one of those shows where I think this happens to a lot of dudes where we go like, oh, I'm not gonna watch The Bachelor, but then like a girl starts watching it or whatever, like, and then we start watching it and then we're in it. Like, it's just that drama that like draws you in. And
is it even the drama or is it just like,
that's how I got on the show. I was at my buddy's place.
Here, pull that up and hug. Yeah,
having a beer.
Oh, the mic. Yeah. Just make sure you hug. Make sure you hug it. Yeah.
There we go.
There you go.
It is.
I was familiar with the show. I was watching it in the background, and like she had it on, my buddy's wife, and I was like, "What the fuck are you watching?"
Which, by the way, is most husbands across America.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, like 20 minutes later, you're like just locked in.
Was there a moment? Do you remember where you were like, "What is this?" Well, like that got you.
I think it more than anything. I well, having been on it, I've I think what why it's become so popular, because it's become more and more mainstream.
Yep. Oh, dude, it's two hours twice a week, or is it 2 hours once a week?
Once a week, typically. Bachelor in Paradise is a little different, but
yeah.
You know, my season of The Bachelor was the only network television to actually increase its fan base.
Deserving of all the credit.
The franchise keeps more and more popular, and I think it's because more than anything, it's just relatable because everyone dates.
Yeah.
Gay, straight, whatever, man or woman, everyone dates, and everyone has those moments. Like, everyone has the swinger moment. You know,
yeah.
You've seen swingers where Jon Favreau's the answering machine moment. Like,
yeah.
Whether it's that crazy, everyone has some version of that.
Totally.
They got to that point where, like, what the fuck was I doing? Like, what was I
thinking? Yeah.
And whether they want to admit it or not, they get to watch other people do those things. And I think that's what makes them so popular, because they're always relating, whether they admit it or not. They're like, they like to see people become their most vulnerable selves.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And every version is represented, right? I feel like.
Yeah. Like, no matter what, black, white, whatever, gay, straight, like, everyone dates. Every single person, like 100% of the people date.
And like you said, we've all done something stupid. And we love seeing someone else do something stupid to go like, oh, okay, it's not just me.
Yeah.
Other people act dumb too when it comes to dating.
Stays so popular.
What's the process of even getting, because I was on the show Blind Date twice, but as a joke. In college, I wore a wig and I went on trying to just fuck with the girls, and it was like a nightmare for them because they both got drunk and pulled my wig off. But like that to me, I was like, oh, I want to go on as a joke. But like, when you saw the show, you were like,
my friend's wife, she signed me up.
Oh, really? Did you know?
No,
you had no clue.
Months later.
Get an email?
You know, they called me one day. They're like, hey, this is Bachelor at ABC. Are you interested in being on the show? I was like, huh? What? I was in San Francisco for a work conference, and I was like, not really. And they're like, we'll be in Chicago. We'd love to meet you. I'm like, okay.
What the hell did she put on your application that was so, like, that got their attention?
You know, I think it was my picture.
Yeah. I got high cheekbones. I mean, it works out.
His love for gummy bears.
Yeah, sure.
I think, you know, when it comes to the, I think it's a little bit different. For the Bachelorette to cast the men, they have to scout a little bit more. Because most guys don't sign up for it. I mean, there might be a handful, but they'll have scouts and bars and... They get applications. They'll hold open casting calls for the women because they tend to get, you know, more women watch the show than men, even though men watch it, and they get a little bit more applications for The Bachelor.
Do they ask you crazy, like, get to know you questions?
Not
like,
really.
Yeah,
they're pretty savvy. They're good at reading people. They're good at. They just want people who are willing to open up. They're willing to like talk.
Yeah,
and
be themselves.
And be themselves.
Because as much as. You know, and you can comment or not comment, but I mean, like, a hand, like that reality TV television has like an element of produced, right? Like where they set up certain situations. But I feel like what I've learned from The Bachelor and Bachelorette is that it's all pretty like organic.
No, it's really is. I mean, they set up all these criticisms about is it scripted?
I feel like they're like, you're riding elephants in Shanghai.
Situations are very much staged, but after that, it's very much not scripted.
Yeah.
And I would argue that's probably, you know, I don't know much. I don't have a lot of experience with other reality TV shows, but I've heard enough and I've met people who have been on them.
Yeah.
It's easily the most unscripted reality TV show on television.
Hell yeah.
Well, that and with all those contestants and all those dates and all that footage, I mean, people think that whatever they're seeing on TV, like, that's all that happened. It's like those story editors...
It's a fraction of...
Are going through hours upon hours to try to construct some sort of narrative. So, yeah, I
always say
totally
that,
get it.
Yeah, every single person on that show... Because people talk about, like, good edits or bad edits.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say, overall, every single person who's ever been on that show should be thankful for what the show decides not to air.
Whoa.
Well, think about it. Like, when you have a camera on you 24/7, every tick. So, like, if you, you know, things obviously can be shown out of context. So, let's say you're picking your nose, right?
Yeah.
And if they show that, that's all they show, then you're the nose picker.
Sure. Because
things are viewed in a silo, right?
Let's say you pick your nose 3 times a day, but when you edit together all those picks,
you're the nose
like
picker, you
know? For like so, and then Nick over there just wouldn't stop picking his nose, and then you just cut together all that stuff. But, then
every single person has their pros and cons about them. They have their weird tics, and so every single person should be happy about something along the line yeah. that shit wasn't showed. And so yeah. sometimes you're the person where they might show more of the things you didn't want them to show, and other people sure. are more fortunate that they show the things that you're like, oh, I'm glad they showed
yeah.
that.
Were you pretty happy with the way you saw yourself portrayed?
I mean, over the course, sure. Yeah. I mean, I had my ups and downs. But.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything's going to be perfect. No one's going to come out of that going like, you know what? They got me. They totally did.
They try to tell the story that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Did anyone give you... And by the way, we'll do about a few more minutes, and then we'll move on and do stuff. Yeah, but like, you know, there's a few. What Brad and I want to do is try to ask questions that maybe haven't been, because I'm sure the amount of press and like shit, like people would just.
I haven't asked
at all. But yeah. also, like, you name it, like the biggest celebs love that show. Like, there must have been people hitting you up.
Oh yeah.
Or right? Mm. What was some of the craziest of those?
Well,
I mean, Kimmel would do these insane specials, and it's like,
I mean. It actually got talked about on Kimmel, so this isn't news breaking, but you know, I got to meet Brie Larson. She has a big viewing party, and the best part about that is I didn't know that she was sneaking pictures of me at her house until what? She went on Kimmel and showed it as if like she was finding Bigfoot. And I was like, oh, that was like, and it was funny because yeah, she's telling insane. The stories of like, I, you know, the Bachelor came to my house and I was taking pictures.
It's like, yeah, you're an Oscar winner.
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, you should, yeah.
Like, Brie wants you to come to, like, would you go to Brie's viewing party? I'm like, yeah, I could probably make that work.
Now, was there sure. anybody like Obama or like Ted Nugent, like some complete opposite?
I love how you go.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I, you know, when I was in Dancing with the Stars, William Shatner.
That's.
I don't know if you heard about, like, it was. It
heard about who William Shatner is?
He,
I it made don't
this,
know.
It made this huge. It was like all over the media for like 2 weeks because I'm at the premiere of Dancing with the Stars. He was trolling me on Twitter. And
out of all the people in that cast,
he was trying to get his entire following to like make sure I got eliminated from the show.
I mean, that's kind of a bucket list thing.
Well, yeah, and everyone kept asking me, he's like, "What are your thoughts on?" You know, I'm like. He knows who I am. Like,
yeah, cool. Yeah, great. Yeah, let's start with that and end with that.
So yeah, I mean, you
I think
forget.
It's moments like that where you, a lot of, and Jennifer Aniston talks about it. Or so I haven't got the pleasure of meeting a lot of these people, but just to know it's like, so-and-so well, right. knows I exist.
It's a strange dude. Thing, whether it be you're on The Bachelor or you're doing stand-up or you're an artist or a musician, but you forget that other artists consume entertainment yeah. just like anybody else.
I mean, Howard Stern was the coolest for me, just the chance to meet him.
Huge. You met him?
Yeah, well, I was doing a press tour in New York, and we were in the Sirius building, and he found out I was there, and he's such a big fan of the show that he...
That's right.
He bumped Nick Cannon at the end of Nick Cannon.
Yes!
For 10 minutes.
Well,
me,
I mean, we... Said, I mean,
he didn't totally
we know.
Bump him. Like, Nick was on it.
Yeah, and, like, we know how Wild and Out works. You know, it's no big deal. Yeah,
for me, it was the coolest thing.
I've been in that yeah. studio just doing the wrap-up show, but then my buddy who works on it took me into the actual, and it's like, dude, I got chills being
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, it's weird, because, you know,
so you sat on the couch and like...
Yeah, yeah, it was very cool.
Now,
you know, Robin was behind the glass.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, she's like, really like
you're a real person.
Yeah, right. And Stern, what was mind-boggling to me is like the amount of almost like Minority Report style, the way he has like notes and his computer. I don't know if you got to see behind that, but like, dude, he has all his cues. I mean, the guy's.
He was so gracious and nice.
What did he say to you that was the most like that you walked away with being like, I can't believe?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm familiar with Howard Stern. So yeah. I was going in, you know, as the Bachelor, you have to protect the franchise. And,
yeah.
You know, so he asked me, you know, I was expecting kind of at least one outlandish question. He asked me if I have a chance to pleasure myself ever while filming. And I,
that's a great question.
I respectfully
pleaded the fifth.
Well, I mean,
just
they
kind of diverted.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I mean, which is true. You don't really have any time.
Yeah,
you don't.
Yeah.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah. Like,
what do you have time for?
It's like 19, 20 hour days.
Wow.
So you're sleeping the rest of the time.
Yeah, if you can.
And also, like, for those people who haven't been on a set in general, I don't know if you had up until that point, but it's, like, a lot of waiting, a lot of downtime, right?
On the other end, yes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hurry up and waiting as a cast member.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the lead, the Bachelor, the Bachelorette, they have no time.
No, because you're in everything.
Always, you're in everything.
Now, do you think that now that you've been in this, like, when you eventually got through the process and you got picked as a contestant, first of all, were you kind of doing it to start as maybe like a goof or like, hey, this will be fun, and then at some point it turned serious?
No, I mean, you know, everyone is, and everyone's experience is different when they go on, so I can't mm-hmm. speak for everyone. But I like to think, and I think maybe things have changed a little bit with social media, and it's sure. You know, so much like the right reasons rhetoric that gets thrown out there.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you had the guy coming on this season who tried to make his catchphrase "Waboom."
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten a little crazy. I think
this guy's ridiculous, Adam. You'd love him. He came on. Gets out of the limo, and one of the first things he does is goes, "Waboom! That's my thing. Whenever something cool happens, I yell out, 'Waboom!'" And he's like, "What? Okay, so you're trying to get like a t-shirt. That's what you're trying to do."
Well, I think maybe social media has made it more difficult, I think.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, people see it's like, oh, I get the followers, and maybe if I get the followers, I can do this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it blew up in the past couple of years. When I went on, I would like to think that I was probably the norm, and that is, you know, when I first went on, I made no secret, even on the show, even to Andy, the first girls, like, you know, I didn't necessarily come for love in a sense, right? I came for the experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I got offered this opportunity to go on this TV show that I knew nothing about. And it's like, hey, you can travel the world and whatever, and then maybe you'll meet someone. So I went in, like, this is a cool experience.
Yeah.
And once you decide to go, I think the only sane thing to do is to say, well, I have to be open to the possibility of meeting this person and maybe I'll like them.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. So I think the only, and I think some people sometimes go in fixated on the love aspect, which is kind of crazy in itself. To like,
right.
You don't know
if that's your sole mission, your sole goal. Well, like, I'm going to find my wife.
Well, you know? Halfway in love to someone you've only seen on TV is bizarre.
Right.
So I think the only way to do it is to go for the experience and just be open to the possibility of something happens.
Did anybody give you advice when you said your buddies? Girl signed you up? Obviously you must have some girlfriends that are big fans that were like, all right, here's what to do: don't give out a rose to a girl who has revealing cleavage. Things,
but it's like it's funny because you can get all the advice you want from people who've watched the show. It's like, don't be the villain or don't do this, and I ended up being the villain in the first season.
Yeah, the Andy season, right?
Yeah, but you just have, like, once you're in that world, you're screwed in a sense. Either way, because it's such a bubble.
Yeah,
That you don't really know what's going on in a sense. You know what's going on with you, but you don't know what's going on.
Sure, with all the other guys, you don't know how they're talking about you, and you don't necessarily know how they're editing your story until it airs.
To try to play the game or whatever, like that was never me. I think people try to do that, but
so you're kept from them completely, like your
family and friends.
I mean, and even the girls on the show. Like, are you isolated? Like, as soon as some moment's done, are they like, all right, quarantined?
I mean, you're never with the women off camera,
right? And friends and family too.
Well, as the bachelor, you're always dating.
Yeah,
you're always on a date for the most part.
Wow, so, what is that like, by the way? To go from, I mean, as a dude prior, like, how much dating were you doing?
Well, it's not the same. I was doing it.
It's not the same when you're in Bali and there's dancing elephants around you, and then there's nine cameras in your face.
It sounds more fun than it is.
Yeah. I mean, because that's something that, I mean, people say that they forget the cameras are there, but it's something
you do. I bet after a while.
I was surprised how quickly I did.
Really?
Even in my first season of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just kind of like, all right, well, they're here.
Favorite thing you got to do that maybe you were like, oh, man, like, I don't think I would have ever done that. Like, with stand-up comedy, shit, man, I don't know if I would have ever gone to Minneapolis and gone to the Mall of America, but stand-up provided that opportunity, and I'm glad it did.
That was your go-to.
Yeah.
I went to a giant mall.
It was fucking cool.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's the Mall of America, so it's very patriotic.
I mean, as far as, like, coolest moments from the whole experience would probably be having a giant billboard in Times Square of yourself. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, just because
there and you're just like, wow, this is...
Because you've been to New York before.
Yeah.
I was doing
New Year's Eve, and you just kind of have this, like, this moment of like, that is really cool.
And it's going to be strange because, I mean, for someone who's trying to become a musician or an actor or a comedian, like, this is something that they've been dreaming about and working towards for years and years and years. Like, it's their passion, whatever. You didn't want to be on the show. Like, it wasn't your drive, wasn't your goal. And then you just sort of became this reality star.
It's a very unique world,
Yeah, I mean,
who were some of the craziest people that came out of the woodworks? Like old math teachers that were like, hey, Nick, remember how you had trouble solving that Pythagorean theorem?
Not as much as I thought. Yeah. You know, once in a while, like, and it's honestly, I don't even
pay attention to it.
I don't pay attention to it. I don't hear it as much as, like, my family at home. They probably get that a lot.
Oh, dude, I'm sure. I mean, my mom hits me up when she's just like, you know, you remember Pam? I'm like, Mom, no, there's a lot of Pams in the world. Well, she saw the show, and she thinks you're great. Oh, cool. Yeah. So she wants to see if y'all come over and hang out with her next time you're in town. And it's like, Jesus Christ, there's a whole... I think family and friends care about that stuff way more than we do, because we're living it, so it's...
Well, I mean, I don't know where you guys grew up. I mean, I grew up in Wisconsin, you know.
Oh, shit, really?
Midwest kid, so...
Mm-hmm. Orange County, Seattle.
Yeah, so for me to come out here in L.A. or just be on TV in general, it's a pretty big deal.
Does anybody leave Wisconsin?
Some, yeah.
It's Brett Favre?
Favre. Yeah.
Favre? Eventually.
Eventually. So, yeah, that's kind of like this, you know, in Wisconsin, most of the time, you know... If you get stopped by the local news,
sure.
You tell your friends. You tell everyone. You know,
right.
It's like, dude, I'm on the 5 o'clock news.
Yeah, I talked about the snowstorm. Yeah. That was your claim to fame before then.
Did you hear about that fight at that Arby's last night? Yeah. Yeah, you're going to recognize a face when you see that story. Wait, what was growing up in Wisconsin
I'm
like?
Witness number three.
Yeah.
I really liked it. Yeah, I mean, it's a bad rap. I'm very...
How so?
Well, and I grew up in Milwaukee, so when you tell people like I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, you're like they're like, oh, okay, like
Milwaukee,
Algonquin, for the
dude. Darn right, Wayne's World 2 reference,
dude.
Strong.
Milwaukee,
Wayne's World 1.
What?
Mm. Yeah, dude.
I thought it was two. No, the one. Second. Let's be honest. The second one had like a quarter of the quotable lines that the first one did.
Oh, jeez. I thought Alice Cooper was in the second one.
But I mean, I love that you would blend them together. I bet the writer of Wayne's World 2 is very flattered right now. Milwaukee. I mean, when I think of Milwaukee, I think of...
I think of
Robin Yount.
It's a lot of fun in the summer.
Is it?
It's a mini Chicago, right? It's a city that has, you know, 6 to 7 months of winter and the 3 to 4 months of summer. Everyone wants to have fun. And it's like a carnival. And they have a lot of festivals. That, you know, they have Summerfest. There's always something going on in the summer. It's
and
a lot of fun.
You got major sports teams, so it's not like...
Yeah, and people love their sports there. They're loyal to their community. They know how to have a good time.
Yeah. I don't know. What were you like as a kid? Like, were you fun kid at recess? Were you like a troublemaker? Were you like on the bus trying to finger chicks? What were you trying to do?
I was a bit of a rule follower when I grew up. I played sports. I was just your typical kid.
And was there any, like, what did you want to do? What was your dream job at that point?
When I was a kid, I wanted to be a cartoonist for Disney.
Dude, me too.
Wow.
I wanted to be an animator.
No kidding. Would you like... doodles during classes and stuff like that?
That was okay.
Would you do doodles during classes?
Yeah.
Dude, have you ever seen or that is your
idea? I don't draw. I figure everyone.
Did you do doodles?
Seth MacFarlane like always talks about like he's doing doodles. I mean, doodles was his cousin. It's very inappropriate.
Yeah.
But I mean,
only alone.
Yeah, there really is a... I mean, that, I guess, is how you would start off trying to do that, right? Just you probably had sketch pad after sketch pad of...
I just would sketch.
What would you draw?
Cartoon characters for Disney.
Nice.
Yeah.
Based on friends or and teachers or...
No, like every time the Disney would come out of the movie, I'd like draw those characters.
Hell yeah. Just try to mimic what they were doing.
Yeah.
Now, what got in the way of that? When did that dream die?
In high school, my art teacher told me I should quit sports and focus on art. So I quit art.
Focus on sports.
Oh shit.
That was kind of
We're rebelling.
I lost the passion a little bit.
Dude, yeah.
There was that moment.
I was like, sports gets me girls. Art doesn't.
Yeah, dude. Cartoon drawing Goofy isn't getting me laid.
It's not helping, bro.
It's not helping. I mean, you know what? That's a path, and that's something that happened to all three of us at this table. You quit basketball to play Danny Zuko in Greece?
Football.
Yeah, he played football to play Danny Zuko in Greece.
Yeah.
And I quit the wrestling team to do theater. So it's like we went one way, you went the other, and now we're all back here at the table.
That's
very poetic.
It's really, but you know what, too? Like being a cartoonist, that seems like such a solo lifestyle. Like just, I imagine just in the rain, like looking out the windowsill, like, you know, everybody hurts, like as you're sketching like Disney characters. Yeah.
I mean, I had this dream started at the third grade, so I don't think I had the perspective or the wherewithal to...
Well, yeah, then you start actually doing it, and you're like, oh, wow, that's hard.
It seemed like a really cool thing to make cartoons come to life as a kid.
So then, and what were the shows that like influenced you with the cartoon shows?
Well, all the Disney shows. Ironically, I watched on Netflix, because I couldn't find anything else, Who Framed Roger Rabbit last night.
There you go,
dude.
Which was one of the movies.
One of the best movies of all time.
I mean, just the concept of introducing real actors and cartoons blew my mind as a kid.
Still blows my mind. And guess what, dude? First of all, tell me that it holds up. It does, right?
It does. It does a pretty good job. I enjoyed watching it.
Go back and watch the making of talk about blowing your mind, dude. Like the way that,
I'll have to do that.
Bob Hoskins, who plays Eddie Valiant, you know, they basically, he acted along Charles Fleischer. They had like a dummy, like a stuffed animal of Roger Rabbit, and they would like bend his like arm. They had a guy basically like shaking him around in front of him, and like, you want to talk about
that's hard,
a missed Academy Award nomination. Yeah. Bob Hoskins should have won for that shit.
He did a great job. I mean, yeah,
you act along nothing. People with a stuffed animal being like,
acting normal in front of cameras. Yeah, that's very hard. But then acting with a fucking stuffed animal,
not easy.
Yeah.
Are you do you when you get on Netflix, what is you do you go to like the dark shit? Do you go to comedies? Obviously, there's so many comedy specials now, but like,
I go to the new releases. Yeah, and the, I'm like, yeah. I don't do a deep dive.
You're not like, let me like refresh my Gilmore Girls.
My music collection. Like, even when I look for restaurants, I'm kind of a creature of habit. Like, I'm not the guy you go to ask to like what's the best restaurant in this town.
Yeah, you're like McDonald's. It's pretty good.
Well, I don't do that, but like. Yeah, I don't.
Not with those abs. What? did I just say that out loud?
Yeah, you did.
Damn it! You have that effect on people. God,
I don't eat that.
Yeah, what is your regimen? I'm sure people and Brad and I are wondering. What's that?
A lot of Chipotle.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow. Sure. Why aren't they picking you up as a sponsor?
I wasn't even fazed when they had their E. coli problem. I was like, well, shorter line.
You ate through the E. coli.
Didn't even care. Yeah. I gave zero fucks.
It's like, well, I'm sure E. coli would be a great diet. You know, you'd lose a lot. You'd lose a lot of weight.
That is, so
come like, all right, Chipotle.
That's true love, by the way, to just be like, there's a chance I could die.
No guac, no sour cream. It's just.
Is that where people go wrong?
I don't know.
I'm trying to get the scoop on.
They also have like the best iced tea, and if you mix it with the lemonade, it's one of the best Arnold Palmers you can make.
What? Yeah. Do they know this?
I don't know, but it's my passion.
See, Chipotle has to hire you as a spokesman. I can see the ads already. Just, you know, will you accept this burrito?
They started doing commercials.
Yeah, they did. You know, our buddy Roy Scoville is in one where he's playing the piano. And
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're one of those companies that's been around and dominating just the food culture that it's almost like they don't. They're like, know about us.
Starbucks never did for years.
Yeah.
And now they.
What do they have commercials now for? But now it's when they're like, hey, now we have like, you know, music labels, and you're like, what? You're like, yeah, fucking Tracy Chapman is putting out a new Starbucks record. You're like, no thanks.
I'm not a big Starbucks fan.
Does really? Anyone?
Your mom and pop coffee guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Where in Wisconsin was your spot?
Good man.
I don't know. I liked anything local.
Yeah.
Unless Starbucks wants to sponsor this podcast, in which case, how dare you?
No. Guess what? They will not. You know why? Because
what's that?
Howard Schultz, the creator of Starbucks, who owned my Seattle Supersonics, and so conveniently sold them to Oklahoma City to make a profit.
What a dick.
Yeah, dude. What a big dick. Now I don't have a basketball team. Now people are like, hey, you still got the Seattle Storm, the WNBA team. And I'm like,
and again, you know what? I've never Oklahoma City, but who would have thought that?
Dude, nobody thought it. Trust me, it's one of the saddest sports days of my life. And
it's like, I get it when like Milwaukee loses a baseball team to Atlanta. It's like, okay. Atlanta.
Oh really?
from
Seattle.
But that was back in like the 40s or something, right? Like,
but even still,
yeah.
You know,
what would happen if the Packers left?
They're winning. They're not locally owned.
Yeah, they can't.
Yeah, but
they can't.
But what if?
You know, now, like,
no,
now like basically
there's no
telling
loophole.
You don't even put yourself there. Huh?
Telling someone from Wisconsin, what if the Packers left? Is like, hey. Picture your dad fucking your grandma right now, and you're like, what? Why are you doing that? That's never gonna happen. But picture it.
Okay.
But picture it.
Okay. Well,
like, that's the same. That's the same thing.
Either fuck a goat or everyone think you fuck. Like, it's not possible.
Okay. So follow up question: what if Trump came out and was like, okay, so the travel ban also includes Muslims, Pakistanis, and Gouda cheese. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. All cheeses. We're getting rid of cheese.
I'm actually not a huge cheese fan.
Oh shit!
Yeah. Like I like cheese. I mean, I don't. I
so
like
are you
cheese.
Allowed back in the state or?
Well, I like cheese just fine, but I don't like it to the absurd amount that a lot of people from Wisconsin like.
Do
it.
They really? That's not a stereotype,
like,
huh?
Cheese is like a garnish for me. Like I like light on the cheese on some pizza. Sometimes they get a little nuts and cheese curds. I don't get it.
I don't get it either.
Yeah.
You guys don't know.
No, we don't.
No, I've been made aware. No, fried cheese curds is very much a thing.
Now, do people ever see you in a Chipotle and like they recognize you? It's like the Bachelor eats Chipotle. It's like yeah,
all the time.
Yeah,
but I don't really change my routine because of that.
What is your routine like? What's
I don't know. Just kind of Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like,
because you don't just wake up and go, and I look like this. Like, clearly, like, look, I got a Stairmaster in my apartment. Like, yeah, I appreciate that. Hey, the bachelor said we're pretty good looking. I'll take it.
Well, I mean, like,
that's going to go on my gravestone.
I mean, should be a dwarf bachelor. I'm just throwing that out there. There should be,
and maybe you can eat pizza.
There was.
You're actually really hot.
There was a dwarf bachelor.
You're going to put me on the spot. Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking right at you.
I mean, yeah. we need to get dwarf bachelor going.
There was a small it was like a side series. It was called The Littlest Groom. And they actually asked me to do it. And I turned it down because I was like,
not the best title.
No,
it's not. I mean, Little Shot at Love, Try a Little Love.
Oh my God, you thought about alternative titles.
Small Love, I don't know. There's so many others.
Little Man, Big Heart.
I love it.
Oh my
God. Come on, man. Bring the thing back. So
my caption game is strong.
Exactly.
So, really? Are you good at like trivia games and like Cards Against Humanity and shit like that?
I'm pretty good at Cards Against Humanity.
I was going to say, you seem like you got it on lockdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to read the people.
You know? You do. Board game or game nights are all about reading the room.
You got to play your partner. Yeah, you got to read the room.
There you go.
When you lived in Chicago, you were, grew up in Wisconsin, then? Yeah,
moved to Chicago. Sold software.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. What did you... Yeah.
I worked for a company called Salesforce.com. Great job.
Really?
Amazing. Yeah, I got really lucky. Basically, none of it really happened if I didn't get their support. And it was kind of one of those things. When they first asked me to do the show, my response to The Bachelor was, listen, I mean, I'm here because this is interesting. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, like, I've just never even been a part of a casting process. So I'm literally just here for the food, you know, kind of thing.
They probably loved that you were so no fucks given, you know?
And, you know, like, listen, I got this great job. I just got promoted. I'm not going to quit my job. And they're like, well, do you think your job would let you take a leave? I'm like, well, I don't know. I haven't asked because I don't know how serious this is.
Yeah.
That was kind of the approach I took. And as I went through the casting process, I got the sense that I thought the show was going to ask me. And, you know, I became more and more curious about it. So there were some people at work who were kind of high up and who were also friends and I trusted. And so I just kind of threw, you know, I'm like, hey, listen, like, I got... There's this thing going on.
Yeah,
because if you
they're like, are you serious? You have to fucking do it. Like,
yeah.
Okay, you know, I was like, really? And they're like, oh, yeah, you're going. You know, and so they were really supportive. And,
amazing.
You know, every time I went back, they, you know, in essence kind of gave me an open door to come back if it was the right fit. And I still have great relationships with them to this day. And so, I don't at this point don't see myself going back, but they've been so supportive. And, you know, just they encourage me to, you know, take risks, knowing that if you ever wanted to come back, you could always do it. I was really, really lucky. Yeah.
Having that blind support in anything is kind of like, you think about the amount of people that didn't get to do something because, like, a job or family member said, like, I don't know about that, and gave you, planted enough of a doubt seed for you to go... Oh, that's going to grow up. If you plant, like, people that plant that doubt seed, I'm onto something, and it grows into an insecurity tree.
Yeah.
That you end up slitting your wrist underneath.
It started off a Shel Silverstein poem, ended up a Stephen King novel.
Hey, dude.
Well, I mean, you know, after The Bachelorette, I came out to LA, and I was kind of, you know, I was trying some stuff out in entertainment. And how many people in their mid-30s would have a chance to do that with an established career, knowing that they basically had a six-figure backup plan? Not a lot of people are lucky enough to have that. And
wow.
Yeah, and
not that it's a backup. It's a great job.
Well, and I was going to say, because now you've done, and forgive me if I missed something, you've done two seasons of The Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. You were the bachelor. You did a Bachelor in Paradise. Mm-hmm. So is there
Dancing with the Stars.
You were great on that.
Dancing with the Stars. Nice. Now, is there a plan now to, like, Or is entertainment just the next thing, or is there a plan of, like, okay, now go and have a quote unquote normal job?
Well, I've used this opportunity, this platform. You know, right before I was asked to be The Bachelor, I started a men's grooming company called The Polished Gent with a couple other guys.
Nice.
And so I'm doing that, and that's we launched that in May, and it's still really new, and it's going really well. I mean, it's interesting launching your own business.
Tell people.
It's The Polished Gent. It's polishedgent.com. It's men's grooming products. Mostly we're focused on skin right now. We'll have we'll have hair products too, but the skin seems to be doing really well, so we're focusing on
hell
that.
Yeah.
And
dudes,
it's interesting because, like, you know, that's taking up some time, but obviously I have other partners who are doing a lot of the grunt work, and so I'm lucky there. And so, yeah, I'm kind of in this after after doing all these shows, you know, again, I'm very fortunate that, you know, this opportunity has kind of opened some doors for me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of, you know, seeing where it goes, and we'll go from there.
Do you find yourself just being out in LA, especially from Wisconsin? Like, I mean, I know I can speak for Brad and myself, like, of once you get up here and you get in the mix, like, and you start to get not only just a little bit of success, but like, get your feet wet and get immersed in the culture where it's like exciting, and you get like a rush of like, oh man, I want to do all sure. the cool shit.
Yeah, I mean, and I, you know, I was lucky enough to come out here in my mid-30s, so, and I had 10 years of corporate America work experience, which kind of kept me grounded, and yeah. when I came out here, I just treated it like a job.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And so I learned, and I was very lucky that, as we talked about earlier, there's a lot of people in LA who are huge Bachelor fans, and so it gives yeah. you a lot of access.
I'd say 95% of this fucking city.
And so I just kind of took the approach that I'm lucky enough to have a lot of access, and I don't necessarily have credibility, but the other part's just kind of up to me to build. But
well,
most
and
people
I mean,
have access, so yeah. I'm pretty lucky that way.
Yeah, yeah. 90% of getting gigs in this town is just yeah. getting a foot in the door. It's sure. it's just being able to get that meeting.
So I'm
get
really
that
lucky that way
sure.
that I've been able to meet a lot of cool people and,
oh, yeah.
and make friends and mentors and et cetera, and we'll see where it goes.
Now, is it strange having your fiance now? Like strangers can comment on your relationship. They have strong opinions
yeah.
on your relationship.
I've been lucky
yeah.
In the sense that I was very lucky to be the villain my first season.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that, I mean, you know, The Bachelor or the Bachelorette experience has, maybe in some ways, hasn't done people very well in
yeah.
terms of how their life has turned out and in their perspective.
Sure,
and I don't
look
blame
to
the show.
The
I blame,
recent scandals as another example of that.
Yeah. But
I won't ask you too much
yeah,
about that. But
that,
yeah.
But I, what I mean by that is like
I will.
Talking about earlier is like there's. You made it, you know, people come to LA, and if they want to be an actor or a singer or a comedian,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're doing a lot of to make anyone who's made it put in the work in the
right.
sense that they it didn't happen overnight for
right.
the most part. And you go on reality TV and you go on a show like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, which is wildly popular, and overnight you become
yeah.
quote unquote famous,
overnight
recognizable
dude.
At least.
Yep, right. That's famous
for some of the people.
Mm-hmm. If you have a billboard in Times Square, you're fucking famous.
Yeah, but even even the people who like are just cast members, and I think people who go on the show have a combination of thinking they're going to be famous, and
right.
and then it doesn't happen because most people who go on the show aren't remembered past.
Well, yeah, you could look at the track record. How many seasons have there been, and then
yeah.
how many people do you remember?
And then the people who do get a little bit of love, you know, mm-hmm. and they're like they'll finish fifth or sixth or something like that, and they'll, you know, they'll be considered a quote unquote fan favorite in a sense.
Yeah.
And now that with things like social media, you know, you can really, if you believe the bullshit on social media, because my whole thinking is no one really knows you on social media, so you can't believe the good and you can't believe the bad.
Yeah.
Right. But if you believe the good, then you have to believe the bad in a sense
right.
that if you're reading all your comments and everyone for the most part is like, you are amazing, heart emoji eyes, you're the best ever. And then the one comment, you're like, you're a fucking asshole, I hate you. It like will destroy people because
yeah.
they've spent a half hour reading 99 positive comments
yeah.
and then they're
yeah.
trying to prove the one person.
Well, and that's, yeah, that happens in all walks of entertainment.
Yeah. And
like,
so you
we focus on the one person, the
yeah.
audience not laughing like
but
an
idiot. If you're lucky enough to get a lot of heat,
yeah.
before you get any love, it really kind of puts things in perspective, and you realize, even to deal with the criticisms, you're like, they don't know you. And because on Andy's season, I was considered the villain, but I was also one of the more recognizable people from that season. So
yeah.
when I would go into the bars in Chicago, I got plenty of attention, and
yes.
it was great. You know,
yeah,
like no one comes up to you in person and says anything mean. They're all like, I fucking love you. You're my
right.
favorite. Maybe they only said it to your face.
They're not going to do the YouTube comments and
yeah.
say like, you're fucking asshole.
And
like,
so that just more than anything gave me perspective on
yeah.
Who cares what social media thinks. And so, you know, now as my arc and my story kind of, I got more and more popular, then I became The Bachelor, and certainly comments are probably more positive than negative.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you reach a certain level, you're just getting positive and negative. I just don't even read it. I don't care.
Dude,
I don't respond.
Good on you, by the way. And I don't know if you had like a mentor or somebody tell you that, but like that to me, I feel like is a kryptonite for people in this business where it's like, you know, we both know comics that like can't help but be influenced by like, and they read every like.
But you gotta understand social media.
Totally.
And that's mm-hmm. there are people. Well, first of all, when you think about it, like. Anyone who takes the time to comment is either A, your friend, or B, someone who doesn't have anything going on.
Yeah. Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the episode. Brad Williams and Adam Ray here. Just want to tell you guys real quick about one of our new sponsors that we are fucking loving. And I say loving with a capital L and a capital oving.
That's right. Mack Weldon.
Heard of them?
Premium menswear. This stuff is so comfortable. They sent us a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
The underwear is fantastic. And the underwear doesn't make you smell. It's antimicrobial.
I didn't know what that was, a word or a thing.
I had to Google it 4 or 5 different times, but apparently it's awesome.
That to me is always the strong sign of a dope clothing company. A, that has clothes that fit you and are super comfortable. And like, we both got these and we were a little skeptical because they claim to be the most comfortable clothes. And then we both put them on and we're like, oh shit, like the socks are as comfy as the underwear, are as comfy as the hoodies, are as comfy as the sweatpants.
I'm wearing a sock on my dick right now.
Yeah, I know. And I love that about you. You're a sock dick now.
Yep.
And you know, when they have like antimicrobial things, it just, to me, that's always like they're going above and beyond and really trying to cater clothes and make clothes that are not only comfortable and look good, but like feel good on your body. And that's the whole point of wearing clothes, right?
That's right, Adam. So go to MackWeldon.com and use promo code ALN to get 20% off right now.
That's a lot of percent. And the clothes are so comfortable, if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it anyway, and they'll still refund you. No questions asked. Who else does that? Does Quiznos?
No.
Fucking no, man. Go to MackWeldon.com right now. And now back to the episode.
And right. if people on social media inherently are motivated, unfortunately, by saying something nasty.
Because it's not to your face.
Yeah.
So and they can hide behind a... whatever
and then,
bag of Cheetos.
And then understand, yeah, then there are people who, and then there's literally machines, literally, that are just meant to troll people. Like, that's what they do. It's like if you read the comments that, well, they don't even make sense. Like, this doesn't even make sense. Like, why are they saying this about me?
Well,
because it's someone just making it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
they're trying to elicit a response.
Exactly. And so when
we all know about your third nipple. Yeah. What?
No, I don't. And then you're like, you're taking a picture of your chest proving that you don't have a third nipple. It's gaining some perspective and just recognizing that. And again, like being vilified or being the villain on Andy's season gave me that perspective to know that the comments I saw on the internet didn't necessarily reflect the experience I had in the real world. Mm-hmm. So
you're able to kind of set that aside and not pay attention to every single person.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I've never read stuff and you've gone down that hill, but like
it's impossible not to.
Those moments. And I honestly, the thing I want to recognize is that when I would catch myself, it wouldn't be reading negative stuff. It'd be reading positive stuff. It's like you're reading, and you're like, oh, all this positive stuff. And you're like, I'm getting a lot of false validation in the sense that you realize that, like, these as much as you appreciate the good comments, also don't know you. Right?
Yeah. And the same way with the negative comments.
No one's as good, or for the most part, there's some exceptions, but no one's as good or as bad as they might come across on that show.
You know what, too? Like, I dealt with that a little bit when you and I met. It was on Extra for a segment where it was you, me, and our best friend Jason Derulo.
Yeah.
he was cool as shit, right?
He was saying, like, I mean, again, I was on Bachelor in Paradise, so you're always kind of protective of like the show, the Middle America watch.
Yeah,
Jason's
sure.
Just like, I'm like, I don't have the balls to say that, but like, good on you, man.
But you know what, dude? Like, I was there for comedic effect. You know what I'm saying? And like. And I felt like, you know, and I remember even like giving you a fist bump at the end because, you know, I like, you know, joked on you a few times on a couple of your responses. But I could also tell you were being like very like protective of what I would say almost out of like me versus you. But even with Derulo there, like what you were saying and the show and everything, like being so, you know, influential on like what you were saying. So I could tell you were being a little guarded too in your responses.
Bachelor Nation is very, very loyal and very opinionated.
And so as a comic, I was like, well, then I'm going to make fun of him.
Yeah.
And then, but then afterwards, you know, and I would give you a bump. And also too, I could tell right away, I was like, oh, this guy's fucking chill. He's just like, you know, he's got to play the game a little bit right now. But afterwards, people were commenting on some of the videos being like, what a fucking douche, like saying that. And I would like get on being
you?
Like, well, commenting on the video. Yeah. And I was like, hey man, like, actually really chill and this and that, and being like, but again, it's like people that just don't, they're seeing one side of it.
Yeah.
And but even that, I was like, oh, I haven't gotten a huge taste of the internet trolling yet. Here and there, I'm like, there's certain things when you post a video or a stand-up clip or whatnot, but like, and you know, that's our world where not everyone's going to be, comedy is subjective, but like all entertainment is subjective. But I guess what I'm asking is,
do you find that dating has become tougher?
Well, I mean, I'm not...
He's not dating.
Not dating, but yeah. Before, I mean, I will say...
No, but I mean, like...
In general?
Yeah.
Well, I think...
For dudes that watch the show, get like an inflated
being,
sense like, of...
Getting philosophical and stuff, yeah. I think this day and age has become more difficult dating, just paralysis of choice.
Yeah.
Right? Like access to more and more people, and then it's all this superficial stuff with like social media and... Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 36, so I don't. How old are you guys?
35,
33. Yeah, so my age, right? Yeah. So when we were dating in our 20s, we didn't have MySpace.
Isn't that crazy?
You know, like
yeah, you didn't have.
I remember when MySpace came out in like my mid 20s. I'm like, shit, man, if this was when I was in college, like this would have been over. Like I would have been.
And
been great.
And now something like Tinder comes out, and you're like, wait a minute. Yeah. So when my date goes to the bathroom, I could literally take out my phone
going,
and then get five more dates
There's
that week.
So much more
That's
access.
Insane.
You really had to grind it out back in the day. And when you grew up in Milwaukee, I mean, you're really grinding it out. You know?
Right.
So
like, yeah. What's the move in Milwaukee?
Actually, Milwaukee has some beautiful women. There's just not a lot of people.
So but I mean, like, how's your? Is you just like, you know, hey, you know, Darlene, I saw you at the
so
Haystack.
So that's the thing. It's not. It's not.
They don't
hickey.
Have a Tennessee accent.
This is. It's not hickey. It's very metropolitan.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So and that's the thing is I think dating's become harder and harder just because we've become more of a selfish society. We've become more impulsive. We have so many distractions and choices.
Yeah.
You start dating someone and maybe some girl slides into your DM or something and you're like, wow, she's really good looking, but maybe for all you know, she's photoshopped the crap out of her picture. I don't know. Like,
yeah.
So there's so many things like that. I think it becomes harder to focus on the things that are important.
I know that like when the Bachelor first started, everyone's like, "What? You're gonna like find love on a reality show? Like that's insane." But now
it is insane.
When you look at the way people are finding love, like outside, like people are finding love on apps.
Exactly.
People are finding love on Craigslist. Like people are finding love on insane ways where you're like, okay, maybe a reality show doesn't seem so crazy anymore.
Well, I mean, listen, dating, meeting some, The Bachelor isn't crazy. And that there's no like pretending it's not, right? But mm-hmm. to your point, it's just another crazy way people are meeting. And it's a lot of relationships haven't worked in Bachelor world. Some have, but also mm-hmm. most relationships in the real world don't work, you know?
Right.
Like, the majority of, like, I always say, like, if you're really lucky, mm-hmm. every single person will only meet at maximum one person that they have a relationship with that doesn't fail.
Yeah.
In their entire life. That's like a max.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
And most people
will never have that experience where they have a relationship that never fails.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty.
So, like, you know,
insane.
I don't get. To put that in perspective, then you're like, well, you know, it could work, and if it doesn't, it, you know,
hell, they had that stat come out not too long ago where it was like arranged marriages have a higher rate of success than quote unquote like free choice marriages. Like there's a higher rate of success when your parents just go that one.
Well, I'm guessing a lot of it has to do with cultural things, and listen, we live in a society where divorce is an accepted thing, you know,
right?
Like it's like till death do you part,
or
you know,
or
like,
if she burns the mac and cheese.
Yeah, but when our parents got married, it was like we're in it
to
know?
Win it.
Yeah, we're done.
They should make people say I'm in it to win it when they get married.
Yeah, and so I think it's a lot of that. So to that point, like if you're crazy enough to have your parents set you up with a stranger, you probably are afraid to get divorced.
Yeah, absolutely, because then you're disappointing your parents.
You might get your head cut off.
Yeah, you're basically telling your parents like fucking blew that one.
There's also so many fucking ways to meet people now, which I think anytime I hear somebody that tells me like, oh, we met on Bumble and like, and that's how we're and they're married and they like get a little bashful, I'm like, why are you like ashamed? Like,
you found
there's
someone.
So much bullshit, and like the fact that there's a way to like speed up the process. I mean, look, no, I'm still a big advocate of meeting someone organically.
Totally, if you can. But I love the people who are like, I've never online dated, and then like you look in their phone, and they have four dating apps.
Yeah, dude. It's like, shut up. We all do it. Hell, I've said this on stage. I met my fiance on a fucking dating app that's designed for people trying to have threesomes. Okay, like that's
you know
that's how I met mine. Okay. So I mean,
have happened.
Yeah, between your fiance. apparently on a reality show and mine on a threesome app. We're kind of there's we're probably not too far apart.
Basically the same.
Yeah. I mean, you had 27 women trying to date you. 30. I had two. So
by the way,
30,
there's probably an app out there where it's like for people who are, you know, obsessed with The Bachelor. Like, there's probably an app or dating app for every.
If FarmersOnly.com can be a national.
Dude, when I saw that commercial, I was like, holy shit. I kind of want to go on it just to see what that farm life was like.
Hey, man, you don't have to be lonely. Yeah.
Is that their slogan?
At FarmersOnly.com.
You know.
Oh, that's right.
You don't have to be lonely.
Right?
What is the Black People Meet theme song?
I'm not going to touch that one, Adam.
You know what, Brad? It didn't have to be a racial thing, and you made it one. J-Date is probably just like, eh, what else are you doing?
I have a friend who is an obsessed Bachelor fan, and I reached out to her to help me with information about you, and she demanded that I ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
So...
By the way, this moment has happened so much in your life at a Quiznos or the gym or a bowling alley or a swingers party.
And I mean, I kind of brought it on myself. I've had such a unique experience in that world, probably one that will never be replicated with some of the chances I took and things like that.
Sure.
So I've been on all sides of it, so I get all the questions.
Yeah.
Her question is, there's a picture circulating on the internet of you and your fiance at a grocery store, and she was carrying all the shopping bags, and you were on your phone.
I am glad you asked that question.
Her big
Brad
quip,
Williams with the Katie Couric question.
Her
of
big
the day.
Quip is, so you don't like carrying shopping bags?
Thank you for bringing this up. I've actually, first of all, haven't been asked this question.
Great.
Yes.
Yes. Brad
That's
Williams
right.
for the win.
And I'm really going to take this opportunity to clear the air.
Yes. Finally. That's what this podcast is for, man. Clear the beef.
This was shortly after we were public with our engagement, and we went grocery shopping. And mm-hmm.
The stars are just like us.
I was on Dancing with the Stars at the time. I just got done with rehearsal, and I didn't really like the paparazzi will go to every single like dance studio.
Is that annoying?
It can be, yeah. And I don't know if I'm supposed to embrace it, but I kind of started like trying to ignore them. Or hide. And so I thought I got away from this one paparazzi, and he apparently followed us.
That's
to
a great picture, man. Because, you should for sure have a bag.
So, totally. No.
Because I thought it was like a bag full of like Q-tips and like fruit by the foot.
No,
it looks like
there's
a case of beer and six jugs of milk in one bag.
No, and like I love how my hands are just like,
yeah, dude.
They're almost saying, look, I got nothing. Yeah.
It's like you're bragging.
Yeah.
Okay, so. This one paparazzi.
Long story
let you go.
Short, so I thought we avoided this paparazzi.
Yeah.
Apparently, we did not. We go to the grocery store. We go grocery shopping. I buy the groceries, mind you.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
there you go.
By the way, a note of detail.
Yep. You know, just not a just
yeah.
Small.
Throwing that out there.
Yeah.
And you know, Vanessa is a strong, independent woman who likes to like challenge herself. She's very competitive, and so. I'm like, hey, babe, at least, like, let me carry the groceries. She's like, no. I'm like, well, let me carry at least one of the groceries. She's like, no, I got this. I haven't worked out today. And literally, and like, I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Rip the food
she's
out of her
woman.
Fucking
She's a woman. She's capable of going to groceries. I tried to be chivalrous and asked, and she's like, no, I want to carry the groceries.
Yeah.
And my fucking luck, a paparazzi's standing out there, which I didn't know. With,
right.
Like, he, you know, from like his car.
Yeah, because if you would have known, you would have been like, babe, give me one of the bags right now.
Over the fucking, that is a true story where I literally asked, and I was, the next day it came out, and I was like, you should have fucking let me carry the bag of groceries. Like, and she's like laughing at me and just like, she enjoyed it a little bit. So.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is like, There's so many. You have so many fights once you get once you get engaged. Like, really, that's the hill you're gonna die on. The let me take a bag of groceries. No, you want to take the bag? Take the bag.
Like, fine, yeah,
it's fine.
Right.
Also, what
get
a great
your pumps in, you know?
Like, yeah, sure. Do some curls on the way of the car. Who cares?
I just couldn't like the one time I don't carry the groceries.
But also, you did the right thing, man. It's like you know, being in a relationship is all about compromise. And like, what are you going to do? Get in a fight in the grocery store being like, I'm a dude. Let me carry the bags.
Yeah.
Like a dude. You go, no. Like,
she's a capable woman.
Yeah.
And like, I asked and she wanted to carry. So I was like, okay, fine.
See? And that's the thing where, now was that, no, I guess you were on the show, but like, that's just an example of things like,
one tiny moment out of context.
And then.
Well, also like. We went to Montreal, where she's from.
Oh, nice.
And when we landed, you know, Montreal doesn't get a lot of celebrities, I guess.
Sure, so it's like the Canadians and
I hate using that word, but like, you know, we.
Yeah.
So there was this one
paparazzi. You're on a TV show that's watched by like 40 million people. Like, you're a celebrity.
We showed up, and there's this one paparazzi. There's this one guy greeted me at the airport, kind of a creepy looking guy. He's like, hey, can I have a selfie? I'm like, oh, sure. Apparently, he's a paparazzi. He follows us to our hotel.
Oof.
And dude was like stalking us. Like, he would just stalk us. And like, yeah. Most paparazzi in LA or New York will come, they'll take their picture, and then they'll be like, all right, thanks. And they'll leave. This guy was just following us. And jeez. So I tried to went to go talk to him. Hey, man, like, you got your pictures. Like, is it cool? Like, it just wouldn't go away.
Yeah, you trying to hang out? Like, what are you doing?
So, like, a couple days into it, like, we're trying to, like, leave this guy. The Montreal police are not helpful. No, if any Canadian police are listening to this, I apologize.
They're called Mounties.
They're useless. they're afraid of getting, like, they literally wouldn't talk to the guy because they didn't want to break the rules and, like, get in trouble.
What? Wow. It's like, you're the cops. You obviously don't know American cops. They thrive on that.
Yeah, we go to the mall, and we're at David's Tea getting a tasty beverage.
Sure.
And right as we're in line, Vanessa looks up, and above, like, in level two, she's like, there he is. Like, he followed us into the mall, and he was like behind the wall taking pictures. Jesus. And then the pictures come out, and there Vanessa is looking at me with like this, like,
oh, just like
kind
scowl.
Of a bitchy face.
It looks like
she's like yelling at me, but all she's doing is literally in the moment she's like, oh my god, it's him. Like, and so to that point, like, she kind of looked a little bitchy, but all
he
she was
He didn't Photoshop shopping bags in her hands, did he?
No.
That would have been the worst.
Wait, so
the guy hired him to got even. Yeah. No, but yes, things can definitely be taken out of context.
Wow. Dude, that's restraining order worthy, right? When you
not in Canada, apparently.
Jeez, like, have you looked up laws like that to be like, okay, when can I hit a guy? Like, because that would be,
unfortunately, I don't think ever.
Yeah.
Dude, I feel like that would, like, if I ever get to that level, man, like, I, when I hear about like Alec Baldwin or Johnny Depp,
but
or
that's
whoever,
what they're trying to do. Like that, I
know. How do you?
And I hate to say
resist.
That I can relate to those people, but in the
you can
during the heat of The Bachelor, it's, you know, they follow you around and it can get uncomfortable at times.
Did you have to? Is it to the point to where like they're outside of your residence as soon as you leave?
I will say in LA, for the most part, they're actually pretty cool guys.
Yeah,
they're just trying to do a job, you know, but. You know,
but yeah, some of them like jump walls and shit.
Yeah,
some of them will jump out of nowhere. It's like, Jesus Christ. Like, yeah. I mean, I'll take a picture, dude.
Yeah, just ask.
Like,
yeah,
okay.
It's fine. You don't have to, like, it's very, and there's enough good ones that, but then there's those few bad ones that just give the whole industry a bad name.
Yeah, but I've also realized that, you know, maybe we have Trump to thank for it, that. We just live in a time where people have such short-term memories that, like,
yeah, dude,
no one cares. You know, like the whole grocery. I remember I'm a pretty level-headed guy. I don't react, but I was
pretty
I'm pretty fired up about that bag picture. Not at Vanessa, but the whole thing. I was like, really bothered me. And it's like, ugh!
Right.
But then, like, no one cared.
Here's how much it is. It's someone going through TMZ or Us Weekly or whatever, and just going like, oh, Nick doesn't carry grocery bags. On to the next thing.
That's the thing. If you're,
and then they see one more thing about Beyonce's twins, and they're like, all right, now I'm onto that.
If you're unlucky or lucky to be in the press enough that you just know it, it just becomes white noise. And then, you know, every other like afternoon, Trump says something ridiculous that everyone freaks out about.
Yeah,
and then no one cares about me not holding grocery bags.
Right now is the time. Yeah. With Trump as president, right now is the time
to
do all your stupid shit.
Trump will one up you.
Yeah.
In hours.
You got 3 years, maybe less, to do all your stupid shit.
I don't think he's getting impeached.
It's a long ass process.
Yeah. It really is. It's also like, I don't know, man. I feel like there's a better chance of like Billy Bush hosting Jeopardy than there is.
100%.
You know,
you
Billy
say
Bush
that,
on his way back.
Yeah,
you think so?
Yeah,
he's gonna make.
He's already done the apology tour.
The apology tour. Where'd he go? Beirut.
Like Mel.
What's that?
Who's the guy? Marv Alberts.
If
he can make it back.
Yeah,
anyone can make it back.
I mean,
and if you don't know what we're talking about, Google it.
No, Marv Albert is the famed NBA broadcaster.
Yes,
and the foul.
Yeah,
he's famously known for biting Is it biting?
Biting, maybe even some choking.
Biting and choking? Choking, I think, has now been accepted in the sexual culture. Like, people don't make a big
permission.
Deal.
It's just a matter of...
With permission.
It's just a matter of what degree.
Like, yeah, I ran into a guy that I went to college with. This is just a quick tangent, right? In the Santa Monica Promenade. And he immediately launches into this, like, really... I haven't seen this dude, mind you, in at least 8 years. And he launches into a very sexual story. I don't know if this happens to you guys, where you run into somebody from your past, and they just immediately go into the story, and you're like, hey, man, what about my face said? Hey, what's your dick been up to lately? You know what I'm saying? I didn't care at all. And he starts getting into it, and he's like, yeah, man, we're going into it, and it's crazy, man. Things are getting hot, and she's bent over, man, and we're going at it, and mugging. I'm choking her and spanking her. And I'm like, dude, choking, you said, like, it was just like an afterthought. Like, it was such a part of... and you know, assumed part of the situation. So my point is, Brad,
I'm waiting for this. Yeah,
is at what point do you think Billy Bush, when he's hosting Jeopardy, looks into the camera and goes, "Oh man, you really grabbed that answer by the pussy."
Probably never.
Yeah, but I'm hoping episode one. I hope he just gets that.
Why is Billy Bush on the comeback tour?
Because he's trying to get a job.
Yeah, but I think the damage is done there.
Well, I mean, well,
I think he makes it back somehow.
Yeah,
at least also you have part an of the escape Bush. Route.
If
you,
Trump can be president,
yeah,
dude, isn't that the ultimate? Anything's possible. Why isn't there a Nike campaign just showing a picture of him in the White House? They're like, just do it. Actually, is there a new slogan?
Billy Bush can't keep a job at Access Hollywood, but Trump can still run.
Dude, that is fucking so crazy.
But now you have that escape route. And you could actually go to Canada now.
Not for saying it, but for like being afraid to disagree with it.
Right.
That's what Bill Burr makes a big point about. He's like, he takes Billy Bush's side, and he's like, dude, so many people have been in a situation where you're with some super rich guy and they say some weird shit and you just laugh just because you don't know what else to do.
Well, yeah, you don't know what else to do. Not defend it, but like not even laugh, or even super rich, or like you're just in an uncomfortable situation and you're like,
whatever, man.
And you go away like, well, that fucking guy is crazy as fuck.
He probably did that right afterwards.
What a pig.
But like, I've done that.
In the moment, you're just like, awkwardly like agree just to like,
oh, I've had that on planes so many times where someone's sitting next to me on a 4-hour flight and he's like, this plane would run on time if there weren't so many Jews. I'm like, okay.
And listen, like, and I think Billy Bush said this in a tour that, like, listen, the right thing to do, or the brave thing to do, and the noble thing to do in that moment, to like be like, no man, that's disrespectful, like blah blah blah. But
and
like,
say it as you're burping.
Quick,
say
as you're burping. Quick, Brad, that's a bachelor burp. Bottle it up, sell it on eBay.
But like, how many people, if they're really honest in that moment, would say that they would do that? You know, a small percentage. And
yeah.
I don't know if any of us here would be like, I would, if Trump was doing that, I would have called his ass out. You know, like,
right.
I don't know. I'd like to think I would.
Totally.
But, you know,
you don't know until you're in that situation.
You don't know until you're in that situation.
Yeah. I mean, you see it, just, you know. Okay, so you played sports.
Played sports.
So was being a pro athlete at one point a...
I mean, I would have liked to, sure, but I played baseball. I ran track. I ran track in college. I wasn't going to the Olympics, you know.
Is that I guess for track, that's where you have to set your mind,
unfortunately,
right?
Unfortunately. I wish I would have focused more on baseball.
But now you can go back and be on a Battle of the Network Stars.
I mean, I guess. I'm aiming higher.
Welcome back to Brad's Shitty Pitches.
Hey, Ronda Rousey's on there. You could go on there.
Oh, man. Is that really the barometer for anything right now?
Sure.
Boy, what a tough break.
That's
right?
A fall from grace.
Dude,
yeah.
She got lit up.
Greatest female fighter of all time, which I still believe that she is historically.
One moment you're an entourage, the next minute.
That's really, yeah. The next minute you're looking for an entourage.
Adrian's saying the same thing right now.
But, I mean, you know, you got to give her some credit because she probably...
she changed the game.
I'm guessing, that's the thing, is I don't follow MMA too well, but enough to know who she is and enough to recognize that, you know, like, right or wrong, most people are following the male side of the sport.
Sure.
And she probably took, literally and figuratively, took her punches before she really was known and recognized, and probably wasn't recognized for her value until the end of her career.
Yeah.
You know,
and so, now,
and that's why I feel like it maybe seems like she had such a short moment in the limelight because she wasn't in the, you know, she was being the leader and groundbreaking in a sport that, you know, she was the reason why it became more mainstream.
Yeah, the only reason why that video is circulating of Holly Holm in her last fight kicking some other girl in the face is because she's the one that knocked out Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, she ushered in that complete other sport.
She's the pioneer,
sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Have you been in fights?
I have not. Never.
Never on The Bachelor.
I've never been in a physical altercation. I've been in plenty of discussions and arguments.
Yeah, dude. Sure.
I have no problem with
that. Dude, there was one clip I remember seeing. I think it was when you announced, I don't know what season this was, but where you told a bunch of girls that you had met Liz prior and that you'd slept with her, I think.
And just put it out there.
Yeah.
In front of a bunch of women I was dating.
Yeah.
That's brave.
Dude, that to me was one of the funniest slash craziest clips because the way they edited all the, like, every girl had a different, like, you shut the fuck up. Like, wait a minute, what? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't think any of them really cared. They're like, great, thanks for being honest. Next.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, to act like you're upset about something like that, where it's like, what, do you think I just popped out of Wisconsin and I never talked to anyone before coming on this show before?
They threw a fast one on me when she showed up.
Oh, really?
I was like, oh, good to see you.
They did their research.
Before we wrap up, and we're going to end with something special, but I want to know, what do you, now that you are like an LA native and you're in it to win it out here, like, what do you love and what was the biggest challenge assimilating to
in LA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was definitely, it took me a good year to appreciate LA. I think the weather wins you over coming from the Midwest
for sure.
It's a weird city. You know, coming from the Midwest, even Chicago, it has a sense of community, the people, it's, you know, it's a tighter knit group. Mm-hmm. And LA is not even like a city, it's just a place.
Yeah,
weird place.
Yeah, where everyone comes to, very few people are actually from.
So. And a lot of people, you know, and LA is a place that attracts a certain kind of person, and some of those people, you can find good people anywhere, you can find bad people anywhere, but sometimes certain places will attract people who, you know, might be maybe more superficial or disingenuous.
Los Angeles people being superficial?
Big talkers.
I don't know if we're going to go on that limb.
It doesn't have the sense of community that I was used to having.
Totally. Yeah.
However, you know, I found myself, you know, I came to LA and people were like, how do you like LA? And I was like, yeah, it's fine. You know, that was kind of my response. But then every time I would leave and like go somewhere or go visit home, I've always found myself being glad I was heading back to LA.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought to myself, I like this place more than I like to admit it. People like to shit on LA, but it's actually, the weather certainly wins you over, but it's a chill vibe. And again, once you find good people, and you can find good people anywhere, you just got to know where to look.
I'm a big advocate of that, man. Yeah. People that go, I would say about 2-3 years into being here, when people were like, how do you deal with LA? Isn't everyone just so image driven and shitty and superficial? I'm like, first of all, there are those people everywhere. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, totally. But you know, it's like you said, man, you got to find good people. You got to find your spots. You got to find, you know, there's things to make you happy and keep you content in a place if you try to find
them. Yeah, and I was lucky enough to have a couple good friends when I already moved out.
Oh, that helps
and
a lot.
They knew some good people and, you know, I just kind of built my circle from there.
What do they do?
My best friend out here, he's a very talented person.
Is it Tom Bergeron?
I'm trying to be his friend. Yeah.
You know? By the way,
who doesn't want to be his friend?
Wait, by the way, what a great documentary. Yeah. Trying to be Tom Bergeron's best friend.
He just keeps ignoring me.
Follow you around for a year?
Okay, bringing him coffee.
Why not?
I follow him in his Prius.
Or trying to be Tom Bergeron.
But he is a computer programmer. He writes digital code, and he's also the vice president of digital for production company called Spectrevision, and he makes horror video games for, like, they make horror films.
Yeah. Well, so he's in the business, but he's not like an actor, you know.
No,
he's
a very, very talented person, just great guy.
It's nice to have those friends that are outside the business, certainly, so they're not like, you're not, you don't feel like you're competing, or you don't like, it's,
oh yeah, I mean, he's more talented than I am. He's a cool, like, every cool thing, like, I got invited to Brie Larson's house because of him. I got He's one of those people that everyone kind of knows and wants to be his friend.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He doesn't have to try too hard, and he has his own talents and his own focus. So he's, and so yeah, he's a good guy.
Now, Adam, I know you wanted to do one last thing before.
So look, it's
before we end.
It's been discussed that look, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of girls that think they can be on The Bachelor, right, and compete, and think they would know what to do.
Not true.
Exactly. And
I always love the people who's like, you know, I was gonna go on the show, but I decided not to.
It's like, no, I'm pretty
like,
sure.
Oh, so yeah. Like they asked you to do it? Well, no. It's, and they're like, well, I mean, so you went through the casting process? Well, no. I mean, I was gonna apply.
So you logged into the website?
No, I didn't. I don't even have the internet. But
I
mean, you know,
I had a thought at one point of maybe doing the show in between commercials, but then I decided not to go on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So,
thanks for letting me think that you're better than me.
So I want to do a little faux situational thing where I'm basically going to try to channel every girl who has ever thought she could be on the show, and I'm going to play some really soft
fairness, let guys and girls both do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will be the girl. Okay. And Brad, why don't you go ahead and be the announcer for the show? And my name is Marissa.
Who's the guy with small hands? Chris?
He has small hands?
Boy, look at you calling out small hand.
Everyone says he has small hands. And I'm like, well, I could actually do that job. Chris Harrison.
Are you allowed to do that?
Fuck yeah. Because he's a faux dwarf.
So I can call you short. I don't care.
Yeah. I actually have dwarfism. He's faux short. He's not really short. By the way, faux short would be a great rapper name.
Yeah. Like if a dwarf says you are short or have small hands, is that like an added insult?
It really is. It really is.
It's like, bro, you are soul short. I know. You're two feet taller than me, but still.
Calling out Chris Harrison.
I don't know how you get through life, man.
All right. What's your name, Marissa?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have to do the coming back from commercial.
Yeah. Coming back on The Bachelor, Nick has a very special rose ceremony with Marissa.
So, anyway, this has been so much fun, by the way. I just want to say that, first of all. Have you been having a good time? I'm a good timer.
I could probably get on.
I can get on what?
If you're gonna
get on you. Oh wow! Yeah. Are you just have So is it? What are you? It's such a nice night.
This is. I'll be honest. This is eerie, similar to most of the conversations I had.
Shit, dude.
That's the struggle's real. Yeah.
Can you play on for like a minute?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
But by the way, I love the genuine realization of you having a fucking numb flashback right now where you were just like... Next on The Bachelor, in the most dramatic rose ceremony moment ever. I've never said that before in a promo, ever. I've never said that. Marissa confronts Nick.
Nick, can I just say something? I feel like when we hang out, we're not actually hanging out. Does that make sense to you? It's like... There's Corinne, and there's Martha, and there's Beatrice. You don't think I saw Beatrice, but I saw her. I just want to know, why are you with me right now? Sorry, I messed it up in my mouth. What is it about me, Nick, that's keeping you here?
Do I have to answer?
Nick, I believe she wants an answer from you.
I don't care.
You know what? I do care.
Oh, my God, dude. Marissa, how does that make you feel?
Well, yeah, and then they cut to her confessional, and she goes, I feel like he said he didn't care, but I think he did care. Yeah. His not caring is caring, and that's what's going to make me show up outside of his room tonight.
That is The Bachelor.
Well, if you haven't watched the show yet, there you go. Summarized every episode.
But in fairness, it actually, in the sense of how it works, is that it really... You know, the criticism most guys will get in life is that they don't care about the right things.
Yeah.
You know, they care about physical looks and, you know, man. But when you have to have conversations with people and that's all you have, the ability to hold a conversation becomes top-notch currency.
I was going
to
ask, man, because you're a very good conversationalist based on, you know, this is, I think, the most, we got to chum it up a little bit on Extra, but, like, how much have your conversation skills upped from that whole experience?
Oh, I've always, it's probably helped a lot. I've always liked to pride myself in that. I mean, yeah. Having a sales background.
You got to be a good listener.
You got to be a good listener. You have to ask questions. You have to, you know, want to be engaging with people.
But in a sales job, they weren't, the people on the other end weren't like, "Hey Nick, tell me about your dreams."
Yeah.
"What do you think that star looks like?"
when you were riding through Thailand on the motorcycle on your date and you were trying scorpions, what was your thoughts?
Did you get to do that?
No. But like, you ever seen 40-year-old version where Steve Carell is, "Well, how do you like it?" You know, like every question he had was just repeating the question she had.
Yeah, dude.
She's like, "You." That's unfortunately.
That's The Bachelor.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love how that. First of all, you coming on, appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. And but your ability to break down the show, like the parts that you really like, were able to pull some like cool stuff from, and then also acknowledge like, yeah, there was some like bullshit. But that's, guess what? That's every show, man.
Well, you know? It always kind of. And I even tried to do that a little bit on my season, is to not pretend that it wasn't a weird reality TV show. And it,
right.
it wasn't a weird environment. I think that's just insane to like come on the show and be the Bachelor. Like, listen, this is the most.
No, I have 30 women.
And like, like if you ever, like, it's a weird thing, but it's also a thing that can and has worked. And it you can meet a lot of cool people. You can, you know, you don't get the women, you don't have anything to do with. So you meet people that you connect with, you meet people that you don't.
Yeah.
And it's an exaggerated version of life. And
totally.
So you don't have to pretend that you don't have to be like all righteous about it. And it has a lot of silliness elements to it.
Yeah.
And it also, you know, has had some cool life experiences.
No shit.
Sure.
And if I can say, I would love to get Dwarf Bachelor up and running. I don't know what sort of pull you got
little
with
man,
ABC.
Big heart.
Little man, big heart. Coming soon this fall on ABC. Little man, big heart. 15 women,
I don't
7
know,
tall.
I don't know if
5
ABC
small. Would... That's not 15. I can't do math. Small hands.
I think maybe Spike TV. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can get ABC to back that. But.
All right. Well then that promo will be like more like this fall on Spike TV. Little man, big heart. Does he have a big penis? We'll find out. Special guest judge John Taffer. Shut it down. That's the guy from Bar Rescue. Okay.
It's pretty good.
I got that.
Lifetime, I don't know.
ABC has always had that slogan where it's like, ABC, none of our shows expose actors above 5'5".
ABC's probably the most.
Yeah, they're very with it.
Very friendly.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're just family.
They're progressive.
ABC, family Disney. Friendly. Well, yeah, they try to be, and I think they do a good job. But
that's right, ABC
they're
Disney.
They're not Fox, right? Well, they're not. Fox yeah. toes the line.
But dude, ABC Disney, that should be the place that houses the show. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you
Freeform.
Work there.
Freeform.
Yeah, I have worked there. Disney has been very friendly to my people in the past.
Disney has, yeah.
So I think that's a good spot for it.
Did you get to meet the frozen Walt Disney head?
I mean, all right, we're gonna shut off these mics.
Are you guys happy Bachelor in Paradise is really still happening?
Are we happy it's still happening?
Yeah.
Oh, because they're bringing it back after the scandal.
It was almost didn't.
What? I
mean, yeah. Do I have to explain this one to you?
Real quick, yeah. What happened?
All right. You need to protect the brand, so I'll be the guy. There was a incident where a woman claimed that this is Corinne, who is on your season, who is 30 years old and has a nanny still. All right.
23.
All right, whatever.
24. I don't know. She's not.
She said she was 30? Hell yeah.
No,
but,
she did not.
But she has a nanny. Anyway. That's the most important thing. But she,
dude, if you
she
could
said,
afford a nanny, would you not have one?
That and in defense to Corinne, and I don't often do that,
but, say that sentence.
I would take a nanny.
Fuck yeah, so. Yeah. Brett, welcome back to you. Wouldn't have a nanny?
Well, if it's Mrs. Doubtfire, sure.
Okay, that's a nanny.
Okay,
but continue. Yeah.
Yes, but she alleged that she got sexually assaulted.
Oh, shit.
On the show. And that is something that the show took very seriously, and they shut it down. But according to them, they reviewed all the tapes, and their verdict is saying that she was maybe intoxicated, but not intoxicated enough to where she didn't know what was happening, and she initiated. That's what I've heard as someone who doesn't watch the show, who just reads stuff on TMZ. That's what I've got. I don't know if you have any inside information.
I mean, I don't really have much more insight. I mean, okay. I know the people involved and
right and so they shut it down to make sure that it wasn't too it you know, a crime wasn't committed. And
sure. They did the right thing.
Yes, and then and now they're bringing it back after reviewing the footage. They say the footage will never see the light of day, which I think is appropriate and good. I mean, we're curious, but at the same time, if the act that was described really happened, I don't think that we should see that.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, it's ABC Disney, so they're only going to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bachelor in Paradise, is that just like, I mean, dude, is that just an all-out fuck fest? I mean, like, what is really I mean, that just seems like...
It's really not, right? And then, and again, to defend the show, yes. A lot was always made out of, especially given that situation, that story.
Sure.
Even before that, people always ask questions like, they must, like, just force feed you drinks all the time. It's like, mm-hmm. No. Like, never.
Yeah.
I was rarely ever drunk in my entire time, and alcohol is always there.
Mm-hmm.
It's always available. You don't have a lot to do, so some people, when they don't have a lot to do and alcohol is available, respond by drinking a lot.
Yeah.
It's, mm-hmm. it's an environment that you're often nervous, you're on edge, and sometimes those people also will consume a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, right.
Other people don't as much. If you ask for water, they'll bring you water. They won't be like, do you really want a water? Or do you, like, it looks like water, but it's vodka. Like, yeah. That never happens. I've only actually seen people... I've never in my time ever, even myself, or seen someone be encouraged to drink more. I have seen people cut off.
Good.
I will say that.
That's responsible.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. You know, it also... And then, like, the exaggerations of, like, oh, all the sex that must happen on...
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, listen, people have gotten engaged. People have hooked up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But most of the time, it's just people hanging out.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not... That's awesome.
It's not like it's some orgy by any means.
Yeah. It's probably your average night at a bar. Like, some people will hook up,
well,
sure.
Well, not your average night. You're on, like, an island, right?
Well, yeah. It's like
an island bar.
But without
with a swim-up bar.
Without fail, the first day of filming, there's always one or two people who... You know,
too much alcohol.
Make poor decisions.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm glad, you know, Warner Brothers. It's ultimately their decision. So Warner Brothers and Next Entertainment produce the show. They sell to ABC.
Will we ever see you on another Bachelor in Paradise? Bachelorette? No, you're out.
I'm good to go. Yeah.
Okay.
You got it. You got your fix.
But yeah, they did the right thing. I think. And it, you know, the whole time it's like it's all on tape. So I don't. They obviously like no to shut down a show. They obviously took it seriously.
Yep.
And so I got to assume. And that's the thing is, once they shut it down, they actually brought eyes to the event. I mean, they could have decided not to shut down filming, done the investigation, and kept going, and it probably wouldn't have been the story that it is.
Right. Just kind of keep it all internally.
Had
but,
they not?
Right.
So obviously, I think a lot of things got probably blown out of proportion in the media. And
sure.
But I know the people involved and they're good people, and I don't think they would have ever let something like that happen. I like to think I know them, and it doesn't sound like it actually did. So
yeah, we'd all like to think, and you certainly believe that if a crime is being committed on set, like during filming, that they would
people
jump
would
in
step
and be like,
in.
"Hey,
yeah.
maybe not do that."
And I'm sure a lot of people, you know, they drink and sometimes regret those decisions. But
sure.
You know, I don't know.
And if you're going to drink and regret your decisions, make sure you make good the next morning with a Nick Chipotle burrito.
Yeah.
No, what's your men's grooming line?
The Polished Gent. Yeah,
Polished Gent.
Polished Gent.
Polished Gent.
So if you want to look like you haven't spent a night drinking on an episode of Bachelor in Paradise,
just say you want to look like Nick.
Listen, if you want to be in your mid-30s and look 25.
Dude, a lot of dudes do. Can I be honest? And a lot of the dudes that say they don't haven't given
They're
enough
all
thought.
Liars.
They're all fucking liars, dude. And that's in the commercial. Oh, really? Yeah. Just have Brad and I just look in the camera in leather jackets, no shirt, and go, oh, really? You don't want to look 25? You 40-year-old bitch. Get this cream.
Don't be a pussy.
Good night, everybody.
everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.